We are getting closer to a transition. A little bit of who and what we are and how it is that God interacts with us. It's been hardly an exhaustive series. This morning, we will be looking at petitionary prayer and intercessory prayer. And the beauty of this is that for us to rightly understand our calling and our privilege to petition and interact with God, both on our behalf as well as behalf of for God to examine our hearts, for God to lay Himself on His Word so that we get to know the richness of the Creator of the universe. Give us a rhythm for our moments. Give us a recognition of our need. And then what we looked at last week, that praying through the mundane and recognizing that there is no such thing to God. Richness because He Himself created them. So then it follows that we can re-engage with what it means to ask for Him to do good things for us and to participate in interceding for us. Is again, well known. It is, of course, Jesus' teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Hear now God's Word. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Amen. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you that its familiarity would allow it to plunge even more deeply into that which needs to be restored, rearranged, and renewed. Whatever it is, in Christ's name, amen. Prayer meeting. I throw out that phrase, prayer meeting, what comes to your mind? What comes to your thoughts. For those of us in the church, our reaction might sound sometimes, at least on my part, I will confess myself only, not confess your sins. Usually, my reaction to the idea of a prayer meeting after past experiences is to explain to what folks tell me about not needing to come to church. I can do it on my own. I don't need to get together with a bunch of people to bring my requests before God. I can pray for my needs and the world's need without necessarily having to go and get together with a bunch of other people and pray, which sounds to me startlingly similar in the life of a believer. I can worship anywhere I am. God is everywhere. I don't need to necessarily get entangled with the messiness of a church and the complications of other people. I can worship where I am. I always am rather frustrated when my excuses for not engaging in regular corporate prayer and coming together with God's people to lay my needs and the needs of those that I love and know, and to hear the needs of loved ones of others. In much the same way as corporate worship is a part of the rhythm of life, that the expectation of God as His people gather together to ask Him to do good things is just that, that they would gather together to ask Him to do good things. That it is rich and part of what it means to be bound together as His people, to lay our needs before Him, not just to do so well. It's not a question, of course, it really is that understanding that it's both and. That our rich private prayer life, which is most of what we've talked about throughout this sermon series, enriches our life to lay those concerns about healing and work, spiritual and emotional encouragement and health, concerns about our children, concerns about the welfare of the place in which we live. Those things we share. And it is the richness of our private lives that, of course, which corporate prayer becomes about the individual or the individual's attempt to manipulate the divine. But it is in no way meant to refute the richness of Scripture, like the entire book of Psalms, which is about praying to God together, or the constant corporate nature of the plural pronouns, and then, of course, the richness of Acts 2, where God's people are gathering together for prayer, and it is blessed with great growth in the individual lives as well as in which it encourages our understanding of praying petitionary for ourselves and for others, what that looks like. Necessary prayer, and then second of all, what makes for rich petitionary prayer. From Jesus' own teaching, it is clearly provision. Give us this day our daily need of opportunities, need of food, need of housing, need of warmth, need of shelter. The Leviticus passage this morning is rich in explaining how God is a God who recognizes the needs of the poor and expects us to be means of generosity. We are ways in which those daily provisions are met, to be sure. Don't harvest the edge of your But of course, that is only one level of dependency. The farmer, sure, he's working and growing those crops, but if God doesn't send rain, his crops don't grow. It's his need to pray that the harvest would be good, that his family would be provided for, that the woman in Proverbs 31's work would be blessed as she trades. She buys and sells things. All of these needs for prayer as God provides. About not praying for God to give us stuff. Now, of course, there are qualifications upon those prayers. Not everything we pray for is useful for us, but nonetheless, it is unapologetically for provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We need it. It is about renewal and restoration. That's where we get into forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. One of the great difficulties of human life, and most of our about woundedness, about hearts that have grown cold, whether they have left the faith and we long for them to return, whether they are going through the sufferings of being victims of physical ailment or victims of injustice. We pray for one another. We pray for forgiveness and we pray for restoration. We pray for renewal. That God would continue to work in and through this world through forgiveness, through restoration, to build His kingdom. And so we are dependent both personally and corporately for God to renew and to restore. And we are asked and instructed to pray for those things. And then the final part of do not allow us to be overwhelmed by the power of the one who works against life and light. We need your protection. We are not strong enough to deal with the darkness. We are not strong enough to defeat death. That I can never defeat, of course, is death. We pray for protection. We pray it for ourselves and we pray it for our loved ones and the world in which we live. Regularly coming before the Lord and asking for three basic things: Lord, provide; Lord, restore; and Lord, protect. Fundamental to the Lord's Prayer. Fundamental to our interaction with God. There is no way to spiritualize or get around the fact that as human beings, we were created, yes, in the image of God, but derivative, dependent, with our hands needing to be open. Because with our hands, in and of ourselves, we cannot create, ultimately, enough provision. We cannot create and manufacture restoration. And we certainly do not have the ability to protect ourselves from evil and death. So we pray. We petition the Lord for our own needs and for the needs of those we love and those we're called to love. What makes if we are constantly fighting God about dependency and saying, look, Lord, what I really want to be able to do is I want to be able to handle this stuff, and then the stuff I can't quite handle, I'll bring that to you. Extremely frustrating, because what we end up doing personally, what I end up doing, is I get what I think is a significant amount of work done, and I say, Lord, would you please finish this off for me? And when he doesn't, it feels like he's not respecting the work I did. As if somehow I'm not completely dependent upon him. I need him to finish stuff, but most of the responsibility is mine. Yes, we are given the opportunity to work with God. He has gifted us to be a part of his own. And be creative. Amen. But none your prayer life becomes richer when you rest in the arms again. How does the prayer start? Our Father in heaven. All of the best understanding of a generous and gracious what they could possibly imagine. Second part of what makes your prayer life rich we are prone to simply want a cushier, safer, softer life. Not for his glory, but for our comfort. Usually praying for things that I don't even understand the implications for. That I have a tendency to pray intercessory prayer again just to make my life comfortable. If God would fix you, my life would be better. If he healed me from certain and I could concentrate more and maybe praise him better or what have you. It's a confession, again, in the context of 1 John, that we might live in the light. God doesn't expect that our petitions and our intercessory prayer be without a personal agenda, be without certain realities of what it means to be a human being. No, absolutely not. But the way we confess that we are likely to pervert even the ability to come before him allows our prayers to be honest, allows our prayers to that you would provide in this manner. I don't know how else I will get through this day without this provision. But I confess that I don't always know what's best for me. Your will be done. Forgiveness. I've already alluded to this in the idea of renewal and restoration, but you've heard me say that forgiveness is the coin of the realm. It is the way in which we interact with one another. Because I am so sinful and because I regularly sin against others, the only way we're going to be able to build relationship is if you're likely to do the same. That when we come into corporate prayer, when we lead with forgiveness, when we exchange forgiveness, when we meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, that love does transform, your prayer life will be richer. Nothing robs us of the ability to enjoy the dependency we have than the feeling like God's not getting it done to the person that we need to have taken care of. For richer prayer is generosity. So dependency, acknowledging and enjoying that reality, confession, not coming to the Lord with pretense about our own motivations or our own strengths, forgiveness, which then the last thing that comes rather naturally from that is generosity. To have experienced dependency, to have experienced acceptance in light of our confession, enjoy praying for the good of others in the great hope and assurance that good has been done for. That God would not simply restore their health, but the joy of their salvation. That God would not simply science and music and richness and peace and the ability to walk down the street without blowing up. Generosity, to pray with richness, to long for that for others. It'll draw you back to the throne of grace time and time again because you want to see the generosity of God poured out. You want to hear the stories of His generosity poured out on others. The Lord's Prayer encapsulates of what it means to enjoy being dependent beings and to pray for others. Now, I started this sermon with a question about what do you hear? What is your response when I say prayer? Because we were created to be in communion. We were created to share these stories. We were created to need to have others pray for us. We were created Some of you will have noticed that what we've done in our worship folder during this sermon series on prayer is to recategorize or rename all of the elements of our liturgy in the context of prayer. We're in a prayer meeting. We are in conversation with God. And interestingly enough, if you look at these major headings with me, you will see that they are not too different than the main headings in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer of adoration. That is the time in which we come into worship and the longing and the desire is to be overwhelmed by the heaven. Hallowed be your name. We want to see your glory. We want to see you lifted up. We pray, we open up that prayer with a desire to see the beauty and glory of God. Prayers of renewal. Those times where we read scriptural that His Word might do its business in our hearts, that we might hear again the richness of His Word. It is, again, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Renew my understanding of what it is to see Your kingdom come. Renew me that I can see Your beauty. Renew me in such a way that I am more and more what I was created to be in Your image and likeness. Renew me. We pray for that together. The orders aren't always exactly the same. Scripture has wonderful diversity in that way. But in our liturgy, we come to what? That in the midst of that hymn, those renewals, we come to the confession. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. It's a part of the Lord's Prayer. It's a part of what we do in worship. It's a part of the rhythm of what it means to gather together in a prayer meeting and work through these. Of others. We hope that God instructs us during the time where we open His Word in the sermon, and then we close again with communion. Every week, the generosity. Give us this day our daily bread. We end our worship service being fed physically now on the very body and blood of Christ, given to us, reminded of what it means to look forward to that wedding feast of the Lamb where we will eat it again with Him, where that daily provision will be even clearer to our eyes. We're in a prayer service. Faithfulness of gathering together for prayer, particularly for petition and intercessory prayer, is valuable and useful in the life of God's people. And that perhaps we have done ourselves all a disservice by not fighting for that time, learning how to do it well. There are two stories that I'll tell just, and of course they always have numbers attached to them, and that's both a blessing and a tragedy because it makes it feel like it's about numbers, but it's not. One is story of a church in Korea, in Seoul, Korea. About 10, 15 years ago, started a prayer meeting Wednesday mornings, intercessory prayer, petitionary prayer. They now have three services on Wednesday, starting at 4 a.m. and going to 7 a.m. You have a 4 o'clock prayer meeting, a 5 o'clock prayer meeting, a 6 o'clock prayer meeting. They have to close the doors. For needs. Started with 40, there's now 12,000 people. Closer to home, Ed Hatch introduced me to a little church down the road that's not so little. It's in a invest greatly in prayer. The church is now bigger than the town. You see, if we started a prayer meeting to grow the church, that would be really, really lousy. To hear His children come together and to pray for themselves and to pray for one another, and to do so expecting that as we rejoice in our dependency, as we confess the broken and failingness of our words, as we implore one another and encourage one another to forgive and to be forgiven and to pray. that it is time well spent to gather together, to lay our petitions before the Lord. My encouragement is for myself and for you to take those opportunities in community groups, maybe in other ways that God might lead, to pray for one another. And if we have experiences that have made it hard for us to do that, to confess, to say, I know we need to do it, but how would we do it in a richer way or in a different way that reduces the likelihood of this or that? Or how do I get over it because, quite honestly, the generosity and the forgiveness and what I need is bigger than the challenges of praying with other people? It is a part of our unity. It is a part of our calling. The desire, of course, in this sermon series is to encourage your private life of prayer, to give you the tools and the opportunities that you can use to enrich your own conversation and fellowship with God. But there is nowhere in Scripture where that notion of private and personal growth was ever meant to stay there. It is meant to be shared. It is meant to be done together as well. May God bless this prayer meeting and all the other times where His people gather together to petition Him to do good things. Let's pray.